come back in on third edition.
Right, just as a point of introduction, a couple people commented that the 20 minutes was good. Other people commented 20 minutes was too short. Just when you get into it, it's over. We'll keep it like this for a couple weeks, and maybe after a month or so, we'll reassess how everyone's attention span is doing, mine included. One other point to follow up. That is the plan, to record all of them. If I ever forget, hopefully someone will remind me. Last week, I had mentioned that the Sefer was written anonymously. Someone sent me a really interesting story, a true story, when the Chafetz Chaim wrote the work. As we said last week, he was very young. He was somewhere between 28 and 35 when it was published, and he was unknown. He hadn't written any. He wasn't the Chafetz Chaim. This made him into the Chafetz Chaim. So he went around to different gedolim, different Talmidei Chachamim, to get an approbation and haskama. In fact, the Yisrael Salanter wrote him a haskama. He didn't publish it, they say, because the haskama was it was so lavish, it was so praiseworthy, he was uncomfortable even printing it. There's also another story about that situation, which we'll get to. The Chafetz Chaim showed him the book, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, "I agree with everything in this Sefer, except for one thing." What's the one thing I don't agree with? The Chafetz Chaim writes, and we'll get to this, if you spoke Lashon Hara about someone, so you have to ask Mechila. It's an Avera, it's a sin, Ven Adam L'Chavera, between man to man, and we know before Yom Kippur, we ask for forgiveness, we ask for Mechila. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, Lashon Hara is no different than any other sin between man and man. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, if the person didn't know that you spoke Lashon Hara about them, and now you're going to tell them and ask for an apology, you're causing more pain. Why tell? So the Chafetz Chaim, the story goes, said, so just write me an approbation and write in the Haskama that you love the Sefer, just you disagree with this one point. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's response was, no one reads the Haskama, they just see the name, they just see the name on top. But we'll get to that, Macholkes. But what someone sent me, which is very interesting, he went to one of the leaders of Judah at the time, it was Rabbi Baruch Mordechai Lifshitz, and he went, and this Rav Lifshitz read this Sefer and was blown away. He was inspired, but he wouldn't write a Haskama until he knew with definitive, he needed to know for sure that this scholar was living in line with his writing. You can have a person who writes a book about anger, and he's prone to anger. So he had a test. So he got a group of rabbis. The main examiner was this Rav Nassim Nata Kimchi, and he asked him to try to extract from him in the course of their conversation some small bit of gossip or slander to test him. So the person who sent this to me, right, he's copying from a book. As his son, Rav Eliel Kimchi, would later recount, Rav Nassim Nata would later relate with great admiration how he had spoken with this man for 6 hours. To the extent of his ability, Rav Nassim Nata avoided subjects of Torah learning throughout the conversation, keeping the talk focused mainly on various problems of Jewry and exerting immense effort and energy to extract from this young man at least one small word of Lashon Hara, but all to no avail. He was forced to return to his rabbi and admit defeat. All his cleverness had been to no avail. All his efforts had achieved nothing. This young man had steered clear with amazing skill, not letting even a trace of Lashon Hara fall from his lips. So that's really what, and he wrote the Haskama, the Chafetz Chaim took off. I thought that was another interesting anecdote before we get to the work. Okay, so you can open up. We're going to, once we get to the actual Sefer, we're not going to skip. We're going to go paragraph by paragraph, line by line. I thought, and I spoke to Rabbi Lubin for a while, I thought in the introduction, which is not important, it's very important, but I thought I'd get bogged down for weeks and weeks on the introduction, which is more of the hashkafa behind Lashon Hara. So we're going to skip around a little bit. So where I have a star, we're going to do those paragraphs. We had said last week, this is very interesting, he writes that the reason it's so important to take care of this and to tackle this is because when we look and see Eze avonos hey meikarim hagormim larichas galusenu, which are the sins which are the main cause of our lengthy stay in Galus. Nimtzim harbe, we have a lot. And if you think back to the last 20 years Tisha B'Av Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation video, every year there's another avera, another sin, another thing that the Jewish people aren't doing right that we need to fix if we want to bring the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a lot that we're not doing right. I think there's a lot we're doing right also. Ach chet alashon al kulo nekama tamim. Lashon hara is the main cause of our stay in Galus for numerous reasons. One of them, says the Chafetz Chaim, is because what brought us out of the Beis HaMikdash? We saw the Gemara last week. What caused God to kick us out of the land was our speech, Lashon Hara. So we can fix everything else, but if we don't fix the root of the problem, we're not going to be able to go back. Think of a kid who was kicked out of a high school for a particular behavior. So he could fix every other behavior. He could become the biggest tzaddik and a Baal Chesed and a Masmid and learn. But if they don't fix the cause of what got him kicked out of school in the first place, so he's not going to be able to be brought back in. So if the reason we were kicked out was because of the chait of Lashon Hara, we're not going to be able to get back until we fix that. That was number one. Number two, if you skip the bottom paragraph, which I thought was very interesting also, ulevad zeh, on top of this, heich yicholos lachol aleinu berchosav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are all searching, we're looking for brachos, blessings from God. People get an aliyah and they have a misha berach. We're looking to get a bracha from Hashem. How can we expect those brachos to take effect? Since, unfortunately, anu mergalim b'chet zeh, we are accustomed to this sin. Halo yesh al zeh arur mefurish b'torah. There's a curse in the Torah. Cursed is the one who literally strikes their friend in private, which the Gemara says, Shukai Alashon Hara. So we want blessings from God, but you can't have a blessing at the same time there's a curse. So in order for us to receive all the blessings we're hoping that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower us with, those can't take effect if they're being blocked by this klala, and there is a klala, arura shere makirei b'seser, if you want to speak Lashon Hara. So those are two, says the Chafetz Chaim, important reasons why this needs to be tackled. Okay, let's get to page 4. Before I get to the main thing we want to talk about, he makes one other very interesting point, says the Chafetz Chaim, which is the reason Lashon Hara is so bad is because our mouth is the vessel which carries our tefillah, our davening, our blessings, our learning up to Shemayim. And as beautiful as those tefillos are, he quotes a Zohar, as beautiful as those tefillos are, as heartfelt and full of kavana and full of intensity and emotion, if the kli is tameh, is dirty, is cracked, is chipped, is spoiled, so then that tarnishes that which is in the kli. If you think you have the most delicious beverage, but if the bottle is spoiled, is rotten, so the beverage won't taste good. If you have a delicious piece of meat on a disgusting, dirty plate, so the meat gets ruined. So if our mouths, says the Chafetz Chaim, are talking Lashon Hara, become blemished, become full of tumah, so that's going to be an impediment from the vessel of the mouth to bring the tefillah to a stronger place. Okay, now let's get to the main part we want to talk about tonight, which is the bottom of page Dalet, which is why is Lashon Hara, why are people struggling so much in Lashon Hara? I will tell you, since the last year, I did try to become more sensitive to both speaking Lashon Hara and hearing Lashon Hara, and it hit me that I hear Lashon Hara all day long. And I'm not even talking about just on the radio and the news. People in their regular conversation just talk Lashon Hara. We talk about people, what this person did, what that person did. This person's married to this person. Can you believe this? There's Baal Shachar. There's Lashon Hara all day long. And the Chafetz Chaim wants to know why is that? You don't find people sitting in this room, in this shul, who are Mechalei Shabbos. We don't find people, maybe there are a handful, but by and large, we don't find people who are eating non-kosher. People keep halacha. Yet this chait, says Lashon Hara, says the Chavetz Chaim, sorry, v'achshav al das zos, I want to think about the following, me'ayin na'aseh halav hazeh, hefker kol kach le'ine harabim b'nei adam. Why is this lav hefker? It's open, it's what's it's permissive. It's like it's nothing. It's out on the street. People are just Lashon Hara is like become nothing. Why is that? And if that was true when he wrote the Sefer in 1870, so how much more so today when we speak a lot often and communication is so much easier. Back then who did you speak Lashon Hara to? The people in your shtetl. Now our ability to talk Lashon Hara is enormous. So where did it go wrong? The Chafetz Chaim is going to list, I think, it's 17 lavin, 17 isurim for every word of, potentially, for every word of Lashon Hara. So why is it so bad? So says the Chafetz Chaim, it's unbelievable the psychology he has here, Visponanti shezehu mikama sibos. I've thought about it, and I think there are many reasons. Now, I want to open the floor. I don't know if they'll be able to hear on the recording, but what do we think? Why is Lashon Hara treated by many so much differently and so much more just there's like almost like we don't care or we don't think more than other Yisurim?
Nobody gets hurt.
What are you really doing? You're not really causing. Potentially, you might cause.
Depends what you say.
But if you're not hurting their ability to get a job or their shidduch, so what's the big deal? Words, sticks and stones, maybe they break your bones, but worms will never, right? That's one of those child rhymes which are really not true.
Maybe people are embarrassed to tell other people not to
say. So people don't know. Many people don't know. Stealing, we understand. Shabbos, we're taught that when we're little, it's in the Ten Commandments. Lashon Hara, maybe it's not so simple. Okay? Saying there, it wasn't emphasized. Right, but now we've become more sensitive to it. There is the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, there, Shiurim, and. Could be. It would be nice if it was curbed a little bit. It's almost that's the point of the newspapers today.
Right. It's passive.
It's passive, right? To break Shabbos. We're always talking. We speak at between 12 and 20,000 words a day. So it's right? So the Chafetz Chaim touches on some of this. He says, it's the middle of the second line, Lehamon mitzad achar, ulehalom din mitzad achar. For the Hamon, the common people, simple folk, and simple folk in Europe was a lot different than simple folk today. I would say everyone in this room is considered, in the Chafetz Chaim's words, alomid, alomdim. We are much more knowledgeable and learned than the typical shtetl liver in the late 1800s. Hahamon einam yodin klal she'isr lashon hara hu afiyu al emes. Most people, I think it's intuitive not to talk poorly about someone, but many people don't realize, and the Chafetz Chaim is going to bang this point home many times, that Lashon Hara is even on something that's true. Do you know what's his name? Do you know what's his name did? He was in. Yeah, but it's true.
It's true.
What am I doing wrong? I'm just telling you a fact. I'm a news reporter. I'm telling you a fact. I saw, even if there's no Don Lachafsichus, you know 1,000% that this person was, I don't know, arrested for. Whatever. This person was at, whatever the, they are what? People don't know that it's on MS. So there are a lot of people who talk Lashon Hara because they're not malicious. They just don't know. They don't know.
Even just talking about somebody, not even saying anything wrong.
Right. Big people don't even talk about people. And he's going to get to that. There are certain things the Chafetz Chaim is going to say you can't ask lest it lead to Lashon Hara. So Rabbi Melitzky gets up to speak. Shalom Shavarachim. Also, how's the rabbi's speech? So what's the person supposed to say?
Fantastic.
Well, okay. But if it's a If you're a person that's normally honest, if this person wants to be honest, expects to be honest, it wasn't so good. So you just said the rabbi's speech wasn't good. So yeah, we have to be careful. What we mean, the Chafetz Chaim is going to give all these examples.
So is he going to classify what really is Lashon?
Yes, that's what this book is.
That's the whole thing. If you don't know,
exactly. So he's going to write, because of this, I'm going to explain to you what is Lashon Hara, what isn't, when is something mutter. That's the goal. That's why we're here. That's why I thought about doing the whole Hakdama. I thought about doing none of the introduction. So we'll toe the line a little bit. He says, okay, I'm going to go a little more than the 20 minutes. I apologize. Ulabali HaTorah, for those who know, Af Osam Shenizbarer Lehem Vinis Amins Lehem She'isr Lashon Hara Afilu Al Emes. Even those who know, it's true to them. They know that you can't talk Lashon Hara, even if it's true. So what is there to talk about? Where do they go wrong? Yesh Mehem Kama She'yetzer Hara Mate Osam B'fanim Achirim. Some of them, the Yetzer Hara gets in different ways. Echad, one, and this one is very common. Shetekef machshiv haYetzer Hara b'rayona v'sha'ish shehu misaper alav l'chonef v'omer lo mitzvah l'farse mesachanefim v'harashayim. The Yetzer Hara will automatically go on a character assault of the subject. I'm allowed to talk Lashon Hara about him. He's not a good guy. He's a Russia. He's a Balavera. A Balavera is different than a good upstanding Jew. So he stole. Usually the people we'd like to tell Lashon Hara about are often people who do the wrong thing. So we say, no, that guy you could talk Lashon Hara about. Or I would say a little more practically, I think we think, or many people think, if it's a person in a public position, we think it's fair game. Right? He chose to go into that field. He decides to become the rabbi. He works for us. We pay him his salary. He's the principal. He's the teacher. He's the community politician. He ran the dinner. She's the PTA. She chose that. She has to be open to criticism. So the Yetzer Hara tells us that, you're right, it's Lashon Hara. It's true. And I know that I shouldn't talk Lashon Hara. But this person is not included in the prohibition of Lashon Hara. And if we think about it, I think that happens more often than it probably should. Hello,
warn people about this person.
Well, sometimes that's mutter. The Chafetz Chaim is going to have major cases. You run a business, and someone's propositioning you for an investment. And I know that he's a shady character, and he's had some issues of honesty in his past.
Yeah, so you tell me.
So I tell you, I don't tell you, I publicize it, I don't publicize it. Abuse, these are, we're going to get to this. These are the shiduchim. You know, people have different mental health conditions. You tell the potential bride or groom, do not tell. One of the few, probably the only paper I ever helped someone else write was when my wife Shoshi was at the end of first year of medical school. She did a research paper on the difference between secular law and Jewish law and confidentiality for doctors, which is a major for that's really Hilchos Lashon Hara. It's Hilchos Lashon Hara. So let me finish the paragraph. I apologize. Ho ploni hu bal machlokes u mutter l'saper Lashon Hara alav. We turn the page. They say, oh, this guy is a bal machlokes. He's a rabble rouser. You're allowed to speak about him. So that's one type of trick, so to speak, of the Yetzer Hara, or where people fall is we start to think that now the guy we're talking Lashon Hara about, it's not Lashon Hara. Ulepa'amim hu mefateyu be'ateyra da'apei tolasa. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara tricks us and tells us that it's mutter. We're going to learn there's a heter called apei tolasa. Sometimes if it's said in front of three people, now everyone knows about it, maybe it's not included in the prohibition to tell anyone else. There's going to be two chapters on that. Or pa'amim be'ateyra da'apei mara. What's that? If you would say it even in front of the subject, then it might not be included in Lashon Hara. That's going to be a chapter in the book also. So the point is, there are a lot of times where it's mutter. So we start to say, this is mutter. The Yetzer Hara turns into the firm Yetzer Hara. He starts telling you all the halachas of Lashon Hara for you to use as a rationalization for our behavior. And that's a big point and a big issue is the rationalization, that we tend to rationalize that either the subject at hand is a person where it's allowed to talk Lashon Hara, or in this situation, it becomes mutter. I will close just with one last thing. Maybe we'll read inside next week. The Chafetz Chaim then says what a lot of people fall prey to is the opposite. They say what? So I can't speak? So I can't talk. What he tells me is I can never talk. Everything is usher. I have to be so careful about what I say, so I'm going to be a mute, and I like to talk. What happens? This is the, I think it's called the splitting in psychology, where it's all or none. So once you're going to tell me I can't talk, it's ridiculous, I have to live, I have to be a person, so then everything becomes mutter, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to live my life. And what's fascinating is that there are many stories, and the Chafetz Chaim actually was very talkative. It would have been very easy. Rav Schwab said that there were two people in the early 1900s. Rav Schwab spent a weekend in Raden with the Chafetz Chaim. He said there were two people in Europe who were known as never speaking Lashon Hara, the Gera Rebbe and the Chafetz Chaim. He said they were very different. The Gera Rebbe was very reserved. He did not speak a lot. Still, that's why he didn't speak a lot. He said the Chafetz Chaim was very talkative. There was no, the Chafetz Chaim would talk a lot. Rav Schwab said he went there for an hour and they, so to speak, I don't know how the Chafetz Chaim had time for this, but they shot the breeze for an hour. They were talking. So the Chafetz Chaim lived this. It's not that you can't, if you know the halachas, the Chafetz Chaim says, so you could talk. You're allowed to talk, you're allowed to talk on the phone, you're allowed to have long conversations. You just have to know what you could say and what you can't say. And I saw in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, someone writes, the Chafetz Chaim embodied a dichotomy of unmatched shmiras halashon with verbosity. What really is so incredible about him, one Rod and Talmud even wondered. After all, the Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law, Rav Hirsch Levinson, is apparently a greater tzaddik. He secretly gives up his meat for one of the destitute yeshiva bachrim. He painstakingly counts every word and speaks with extreme brevity. The Chafetz Chaim, though, is talkative and not nearly as exacting in articulation. So why is the Chafetz Chaim such a renowned tzaddik and not Rav Hirsch? This anonymous Talmud recounted that it was only later in life that it dawned on him. Giving positive expression to the power of speech is a much higher level than repressing it. And the Yetzer Hara, says the Chafetz Chaim, psychologically, and this is true, I think, in so many areas of life, when it's all or nothing. If I'm not going to live up to the, I have this with my students all the time, I'm not going to live up to the type of Jew that I want to be or that I once was, so there's no point in even trying. We recreate a new persona for ourselves so we're not constantly fighting and disappointed. So I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara all the time. I love to talk. I speak to everyone. I'm a schmoozer, so there's no point in even trying. So this guy says, no, that's a mistake. If we learn what we can say and what we can't say, so we'll find that we could speak a lot. We could be talkative like the Chafetz Chaim was and learn how to talk the right way. I think that I'll wrap up the introduction. Hopefully next week we can start already with the actual halakha, because I apologize for taking an extra couple minutes. Everyone have a wonderful evening and a good Shabbos.